11 symbolic code number 12. We're going to continue on where we left off. Part 1. This is part 2. We're on page 21, Ezekiel 36, 21 and 22. But I had pity for my holy land, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whither they went. Therefore, say unto the house of the Israel, thus saith Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, that you have profaned among the heathen, whither you went. It was because the Yahweh, the Father, could no longer tolerate the sins of his people, that he, through the Gentiles, had to disperse them. For the heathen did not know that, though now Yahweh says he will do something about it for his holy name's sake, not because his people are good. For the next verse states plainly that what he will do. Ezekiel 36, 23 and 24. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which you have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Yahshua, saith Yahshua, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. This is the Son of Yahweh talking now. I will take you from among the heathen and bring you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Unto those who ask how Yahweh can defend his name, how since the heathen have dispersed throughout the nation, the ancient kingdom of his people, we need only to read to them what Yahweh will say, that he will gather his people back from all the countries and show them and the heathen that he will yet honor his name by the sanctifying himself in them before the heathen. Ezekiel 36, 25, 27. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all of your idols will I cleanse you. For a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Since all of this takes place, when Yahweh gathers his people from among the heathen, and no one can dodge the fact that unless we go into the land where the cleansing will take place, we will not be cleansed, and we will not receive the new heart and Yahweh's Spirit. After we have been taken from among the heathen, Yahweh will sprinkle clean water upon us to cleanse us. By this we are to understand that until Yahweh gathers us from among the heathen, we cannot be cleansed. After he cleanses us, we will be without spot. For the judgment time, we must remember, it is a cleansing time as well as a separated time. For the judgment for the living takes place when the Yahweh, the Father, cleanses his people from all their filthiness and puts within them his spirit and hearts of flesh. This work is to be done for his people after the Yahweh, the Father, has it. After the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, has returned them to their own land. For Yahshua that's here on earth, in person, that is working among his people to gather them into the land of, back into the land of Israel. This chapter tells us that we will never be clean until the Yahshua gathers us from all the heathen and makes us what we ought to be. For the devil, however, wants to convince us that there is to be neither a land under which Yahweh's people are to go, nor a cleansing. Let us read further. Ezekiel 36:28. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave unto your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your Yahweh. For the land that Yahweh gave unto our fathers is Palestine, because the children of Israel were dispersed. His name was profaned. And to show that he indeed rules over the earth and the people, he will gather out his people from the nations and set them right back in their own land and sanctify himself in them. Ezekiel 36:29-30. I will also save you from all your uncleanness, and I will call for the corn, and will increase it, and lay no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree, and the increase of the field, that you shall receive no more reproach of the famine among the heathen. If the land of our fathers in this chapter means heaven, there would be no heathen in existence to witness any more reproach of the famine. And thus, the last clause of Ezekiel 36:30 would be unnecessary and meaningless. Ezekiel 36:31. Then shall you remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourself in your own sight for your iniquity and for your abomination. After Yahweh has returned his people unto their own land, the land of Israel, and changed their hearts and put within them his spirit, then will they hate their own evil doings. They will be genuinely sorry for them. This is the revival and reformation which Yahweh calls for, and which he himself will work in his people. Now let us turn to the next chapter of Ezekiel 37:15-24. For the word of Yahshua came again unto me, saying, Moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick. This son of man is answerable for Elijah, with another name called David, and took for David's kingdom. Now that's Malachi 4:5. Take thee one stick and ride upon it for the Judah, that's the lawgiver, Genesis 49:10. So the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the dead of the people be, and for the children of Israel his companion. Then take another stick and write upon it for the Jordan, the stick of the Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel his companion, and join them one unto another and to one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand. And when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, Wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by thee? Say unto them, Thus saith Yahshua, son of the Yahweh, Behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of his fellows, the ten, and will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, with the two tribes, Judah and Benjamin, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in mine hand. In other words, putting the 12 tribes of Israel back together on these last days, as prophesied by these two sticks. And the sticks wherein thou lovest shall be in thine hand before their eyes. And say unto them, Thus saith Yahshua, Behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whether they be gone, and will gather them on every side, and bring them into their own land, and I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountain of Israel, and one king shall be king unto them all, and there shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all, neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions, but I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their Yahweh. And David, my servant, shall be king over them. There's ran typically Elijah, but actually for the name of David. And they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgment and observe my statutes and fear them. For the ancient kingdoms of the Judah and Israel were dispersed. Now, however, the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, said that he will bring them back into their own land after he comes back the second time in person to sit upon the throne of his earthly servant, of his earthly father, David, as in Luke 1:32, and join them into the kingdom, where he will sanctify himself in them. And the Yahweh does, Yahshua does this with his people, that he then will learn who Yahweh is and what are the purposes in the earth. For I believe that the subject of the kingdom is one of the plainest of all subjects. In fact, the scriptures dealing with it actually need no interpretation if we believe what the Bible says, for it plainly states that just what it means, and is in the perfect harmony throughout its prophecies, parables, and symbols. For the only trouble there could be is that we have put an erroneous idea into our mind that there is to be no kingdom of the Yahshua, that's the son of Yahweh, here on earth before the second coming. This kingdom of heaven set up here on earth is before Yahshua's second coming. And it's set up in the 12th parabolic hour, and we've been in the 12th parabolic hour since 2002, starting at the Passover of that year. and that idea has to be taken out, for it is under unscriptural. Daniel 2 talks of the kingdom of Yahweh, said that it shall not be left to other people, but it shall stand forever and will grow and fill the whole earth. Though there will be only 144,000 cut by the Yahweh's own might and taken to Mount Zion. Let's do this again. Though there will be only 144,000 first fruit harvest of the Seventh-day Adventist Church when the judgment of the living begins for the harvest, and that is still right in front of us, the 144,000 will be the first fruit harvest of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. It will be cut by the Yahweh's own might and taken to Mount Zion. Yet they are servants, and as the first fruits, Revelation 7:1-8, Revelation 14:1-5, are together in the great multitude, which no man can number, of the Revelation 7:9-10. This will they enlarge the kingdom of the heaven here on earth that is finally to fill the whole earth. That is what Yahshua proposes to do with his people when he comes back the second time and sits upon the throne of David and gathers all nations before him. Matthew 25:31-32, Luke 1:32, and Isaiah 9:6-8. If we would be among the wise virgins, we will not fight against Yahweh setting up his kingdom, or the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, setting up his kingdom, but rather we will study about it and thus picture the extra and procure the extra oil. We will work for it, and we will arise certainly with the understanding that pray as Yahshua himself taught us, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Oh Yahshua, I have promised. Oh Yahshua, I have promised. Oh Yahshua, thou hast promised to all who follow thee that where thou art in glory, there shall thy servant be. And Yahshua, I have promised to serve thee to the end. Oh, give me grace to follow my master and my friend. As we continue on with Living Symbolic Code number 12, part 2, it says, thus saith Yahshua. That's a subtitle for this part. Thus saith Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, for I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return, and will build them as at the first, and I will cleanse them from all their iniquity whereby they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities whereby they have sinned, and whereby they have transgressed against me. There shall be to me a name of the joy, a praise, and an honor before all the nations of the earth, which shall hear all their goods that I do unto them, and they shall fear and tremble for all their goodness and for all the prosperity that I procure unto it. Thus saith Yahshua, son of the Yahweh, again this shall be heard in this place, which you say shall be desolate, without the man, without the beast. even in the cities of Judah. And that's the city that we're in, the lawgiver, Genesis 49:10, said, a scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh, and that shall shew the son, shall come, and unto him shall the children of the people be. Let us continue reading. And in the streets of the elders that are desolate, without the man, and without the inhabitants, and without the beast, the voice of joy, and the voice of the gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride, the voice of them that shall say, praise is the sure of the host, for the sure is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of Yahshua, for I will cause to return the captivity of the land, as at the first, saith Yahshua. Thus saith the Yahshua of the host. This is Yahshua, the son of Yahweh. He is the king of the host of the saints here on earth that he's addressing. Again, in this place, which is desolate, without man and without beast, and in all their cities thereof, shall be an inhabitant, habitation of shepherds. Okay, all the cities thereof shall be an habitation of shepherds, causing their flocks to lie down in the cities of the vale, and in the cities of the south, and in the land of the Benjamin, and in the places about Jerusalem, and in the cities of Judah shall the flocks pass again under the hands of him that telleth them, saith Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, because he's here on earth, here in the 12th hour, the last parabolic hour. He's directing the kingdom of heaven that came down with him, that Daniel 2:44-45, where it says, in the days of these kings shall the Yahweh of the sure of the heaven set up a kingdom. Behold, the days come. Let's continue reading on page 29. Behold, the days come, saith the Yahshua, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of the Israel and unto the house of the Judah. In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of the righteousness to grow up unto the David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Yahshua, our righteousness. Jeremiah 33:2-7:16. For the Yahweh's love runneth faster than our feet to meet us stealing back to him and peace, and kisses down our shame, nay, and puts on the best robe, a bidding angels bring it forth, bidding the angels bring it forth. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. This is the subtitle as we continue on reading us, it says, thus we are in establishing our headquarters on this mount that is found in prophecy, that our stay here shall be very short, for he will finish the work, Yahshua, that's Yahshua. He's going to come down here in this 12th hour, and he's going to finish the work and cut it short in the righteousness, because a short work will Yahshua make upon the earth. Romans 9:28. It might be interesting to Elder G to know that the naming of our camp, Mount Carmel Center, came about in the same way as the naming of our publications. For the Shepherd's Rod, our publications, the Shepherd's Rod. For we did not know beforehand that it was in prophecy until after our attention was called to Micah 7:14 and Amos 1:2. In the prophecy of the Amos, we read, for Yahshua will roar out from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the habitations of the shepherds shall mourn, and the top of the Carmel shall wither. Amos 1:2. With a few comments on the above scripture, any Bible student will recognize at a glance that it applies at the time of the end, as explained by the gospel prophet, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of Yahshua's house, that means the king. Mountain also means kingdom. It's interchangeable with the word kingdom. So you could say, in the last days that the kingdom of the Yahshua's house, which is the house of David, the antithetical house of David, shall be established in the top of the mountains, that's in the top of all the kingdoms of the world that are existing at that time, and shall be exalted above the hills, that means above all the churches, for out of Zion, that Mount Zion, the 12th hour, shall go forth the law, and the word of the Yahshua from Jerusalem, Isaiah 2:2-3, which in the language of Amos is, utter his voice from Jerusalem. Looking unto this same time, Joel puts it as follows, and the Yahshua shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that uttereth his word. For the day of the Yahshua is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? Joel 2:11. As Amos said, the habitations of the shepherds shall mourn, for it is obvious that Amos' prophecy is yet future, for the word habitations, places, is in the plural form, which cannot be applied unto only one shepherd's habitation or denomination, such as the Seventh-day Adventist denomination, but unto all that be in existence at that time. So how many denominations do you have in existence right now in the world? You have many. For the term shepherds means as understood. The same as the ancient men which were before the house, the ministers. That's taken comment from Testimonies for the Church by the Ellen G. White, Volume 5, page 211. Note that the shepherds are not themselves to mourn, but their habitations, their houses, that is, the membership of their churches, which fact reveal that it will be thus at the time when the sleeping multitudes in the churches awake from the spiritual insensibility and find that the shepherds whom they have implicitly trusted for their salvation had deserved or had deceived all of those who followed them. For the prophet Jeremiah in the following words explains that this waiting by those who are thus deceived will be at the close of the probation, for they shall say, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved, in Jeremiah 8:20. That is after the harvest, the time in which they could have been saved, they will realize that probationary time has closed. Then the habitations of the shepherds shall mourn, and the top of the Carmel shall wither. Hence, before that time, the top of Carmel must have been green with much pasture. Otherwise, there would be nothing to wither. That is, though, Carmel has now plenty of pasture, a present truth. When probation closes, it shall be deserted and withered. For it says, the spirit of the prophecy and the time of the trouble, we all fled from the cities and villages, Early Writings, page 34, by the E.G. White. Thus shall the top of the Carmel wither, and those who do not take heed to the word. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. At length will be alarmed that their opportunities for the accepting of the truth has slipped away. Then, in their hasty, frenzied effort to acquaint themselves with the present truth, which went forth from the top of Carmel, and to their surprise, they shall find that the Carmel has finished his work. Its inhabitants removed and probation closed, at which time the inhabitants of Carmel chant, but request, or repeat, but repeat that the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we have nothing for us. Let's do that again. For the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we have nothing for thee. Then it shall come to pass that they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even unto the east, they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Yeshua, that's the Son of Yahweh, and shall not find it. And that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for the thirst. Behold, the days come, saith Yeshua, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of the bread, not a thirst for the water, but of the hearing the word of the Yeshua. Amos 8:12-13-11. Oh, what a disappointment that will be. And now, my eyes, with the eyes of the lamenting prophet, do fail with the tears, for the destruction of the daughters of my people, because the children and the suckling, or the sucklings swoon in the streets of the city. For the prophets, says, thy prophets, their teachers have seen vain and foolish things for thee, and they have not discovered thine iniquity to turn away thy captivity, but have seen for thee false burdens and causes of banishment. Lamentations 2:11-14. And Yahshua has never left his people in darkness. As the Yahshua has never left his people in the darkness, we find the work of the shepherd's rod clearly outlined in the prophecies throughout the Bible. And the only reason that our teaching brethren cannot see the truth in it and do not know who hath appointed it is because they are trying to see it through the dollars and cents instead of through the spirit of the prophecy. For the eyes, for the church, to which only can they see the truth and the true state of their condition, of the spiritual blindness, poverty, and wretchedness, and the need for the eye salve, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man, which is in him. Even so, the things of Yahweh knoweth no man, but the Spirit of Yahweh, 1 Corinthians 2:11. But now, as the Spirit of the truth is come, and He will guide you into all the truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. John 16:13. For without the Spirit of Yahweh, no man knoweth the things of Yahweh. The Symbolic Code, Volume 1, Number 14, makes that quote, August 1935. And Patriarchs and Prophets, page 5-7. No, Symbolic Code, Volume 1, Number 14, August 1935, pp. 5 to 7. That's the end of Living Symbolic Code number 12. Okay. And the continuation from that code would be the 12th symbolic code, number 1. And we have about 19 minutes to go on this study. So we'll go ahead and continue on with 12th symbolic code, number 1. It says, for the chronological order and explanation of some Isaiah's chapter, the sermon is selected for this issue of the symbolic code was delivered by the Brother V.T. Holliff on March the 14th and June the 30th, 1942. The prayer thought, for the message we have to bear is not a message that men need to cringe to declare, for they are not to seek to covet, to conceal its origin and purpose. For its advocates must be men who will not hold their peace day nor night, as those who have made solemn vows unto Yahweh and who have been commissioned as the messengers of the Asher, as the stewards of the mysteries of the grace of the Yahweh. We are with the clear obligation for the declaring faithfully of the whole counsel of the Yahweh, the Father. For we are not for the making of the less prominent of the special truths that have separated us from the world and made us what we are, for they are fraught with the eternal interest. For Yahweh has given us light and regard unto the things that are now taking place in the last remnant of the time. And with the pen and voice, we are to proclaim the truth, that is, present truth, unto the world, not in a tame, spiritless way, but in the demonstration of the spirit and power of the Yahweh, for the mightiest conflicts are involved in the furtherance of the message and the results of its promulgation are of the moment to both heaven and earth, are of the moment to both the heaven and earth. For the controversy between the two great powers of the good and evil is soon to be ended. But to the time of its close, there will be the continual and sharp contest. That's like we're having between the Democratic and the Republican parties of our government. A sharp and a continuous contest are going on. We should now purpose, as did the Daniel and his followers, and his fellows in the Babylon, that we will be true unto the principle, come what may, for the flaming fiery furnace heated 7 times hotter than it was wont to be heated, did not cause these faithful servants of Yahweh to turn aside from the allegation, from the allegiance unto the truth. They stood firm in the time of the trial and were cast into the furnace, and they were not forsaken of the other, for the form of the fourth was seen walking with them in the flame, and they came forth not having even the smell of fire upon their garment. Today, the world is full of the flatterers and dissimulators, but Yahweh forbid that those who claim to be the guardians of the sacred trust shall betray the interest of Yahweh's cause through the insinuating suggestions and devices of the enemy of all righteousness. There is no time now for the arranging ourselves on the side. Let's do it again. For there is no time now for the arranging of ourselves on the side of the transgressors of the Yahweh's law. For the seeing with their eyes, for the hearing with their ears, and for the understanding with their perverted senses, we must press together, for we must labor for the becoming as a unit, for to be holy in life and pure in character. Let those who profess to be servants of the living Yahweh no longer bow down unto the idol of the men's opinion, no longer be slaves unto any shameful lust, no longer bring a polluted offering to the Yahshua, a sin-stained soul. That's a comment taken from Testimonies to Ministers by the Ellen G. White, page 470 and 471. For our study, that's the end of the prayer thought. For our study for today is taken from the several chapters in Isaiah, particularly chapters 12, 13, and 14. Some of these chapters contain the prophecies which are illustrated by the certain experiences of the ancient people and nations, which at some time were to be repeated. We shall now commence our study with only a brief review of what we have already found in chapter 7 and 8 of Isaiah. Our time is limited, and you are all more or less familiar with it. First is mentioned the history of the ancient Israel, understand successfully confederating with Assyria against the Judah. And you know who Judah is? That's the house of David the lawgiver. Genesis 49:10 is a prophecy for Judah. For the last days it says, for a scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until the Shiloh come. That's Yahshua, until he comes in the last day, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. I always like to quote that Genesis 49:10, the prophecy on Judah, and I read things like this. Let's continue to read. For they could not prevail against her. Instead, both were taken by Syria. And you can understand why they could not prevail against Syria and against Judah. Because Judah is definitely has always been the lawgiver from the time that Jacob made that prophecy in Genesis 49:10. That's on the day that he died. Then as follows the prophecy of the birth of the Emmanuel, and that's Yahshua. Since, however, Yahshua was born long after the kings of the Israel and Syria were taken, for it is obvious from the verse 16 of chapter 7 of the Isaiah that a circumstance was to occur at some time that would be the antitype of the confederacy which took place anciently between the Israel and the Syria against the Judah, and that in this antitypical period both kings represented by the Syria and Israel would be taken by a power represented by the Assyria before Emmanuel would know the difference between the good and evil, since, as has already been pointed out, Yahshua, Emmanuel, and not live in the time of such a confederacy, it must be that not only Israel, Syria, and Assyria are types, but Yahshua himself is also a type. This is very interesting to know. We learn that the Emmanuel, meaning Yahweh the Father, is with us through his son Yahshua, could represent only his true followers, the born against Christians here in this last days of the 12th parabolic hour that we're in right now, since Passover of 2002, as the house of David entered into the 12th parabolic hour, the judgment of the living time now. That's judgment of the living that pointed out there that began at the opening of the seventh seal in Revelation chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. Through these scriptures and historical facts, we learn that the antitype of the Israel and Syria confederacy took place commencing in the 1st century A.D. when one part of the Christian Israel federated with the pagan Syria against the other Christians, Judah. But their combined church-state power was broken by the Protestant nation, Assyria, after the Emmanuel, born again Christians came, but before they had advanced in the truth far enough to know how to choose between the good and evil, and before the younger Christians, represented by the second son, Mahershala Hasbaz of the chapter 8, had progressed enough even to know their father, Yahweh, and their mother, the church. After Isaiah mentioned the ancient historical confederacy, and then the sign of the Emmanuel, which we have just reviewed and applied to the experience of the early apostolic church history, Isaiah 8:9 warns against another association of peoples, saying that this confederacy will likewise surely fail and fall to pieces. And for us, this is the main lesson in these chapters. We are instructed as to what to expect and what to do about it. For the period we are now in is the antitypical Assyria. And so Vitellus said that was in 1946 when we was in it. And the Adventist Church was in the antitypical period of the Assyria. The Assyrian period is about to pass away, and the period of the Babylon to be ushered in. But there is another thing that is to happen between the setting up of the Confederacy of the Isaiah 9 and the rise of the Babylon. It is a setting up of the Yahweh's kingdom. And this is what I represent as the antitypical king of David, which is called antitypical David, which also has the title of antitypical Elijah. And this Yahweh's kingdom is found in the prophecy of Isaiah 2, 44 and 45. And the days of these kings, that's in those 10 toed kings on that image, and the days of these kings, in the last days, shall the Yahweh of heaven set up a kingdom, and that is by his Son, when he sends his Son to the earth, to sit upon the throne of David. That's in Luke 1:31, 32, and 33. And that's in the prophecy of Isaiah 9:68. Yahweh's people are to be taken unto their own land and made free. They're in their own land is the land of Israel. But right now, here in the 12th periodic era that we're in now, they're busy over there having a war of these Gentile nations coming in and driving out those Gentile that are running and controlling Jerusalem and Israel. That's the warfare is fulfilling Zechariah chapter 1 and 2, where it says the four horns and the four carpenters. The four carpenters are coming in now, which are the Gentile nations, to drive out the four horns, Gentiles, that are now ruling the nation of Israel. And these Gentiles are going to rebuild the torn down kingdom of Jerusalem today. So it says, it is the setting up of the Yahweh's kingdom. The Yahweh's kingdom is set up in a peaceful land of Assyria. That's the land that we're in now here in Texas in the United States. And then that kingdom will pick up all the saints here in this country and at the appointed time will be transported to the land of Israel. For the Yahweh's people are to be taken into their own land and made free. In the outlining of the chapters, we find this order. The seventh chapter brings the birth of the apostolics and the federation against them. For the eighth chapter brings in the latter-day confederacy of the people and nations and the outcome of it. For the ninth and tenth chapters, as Isaiah contains a continuation of the antitypical period of the Assyria. In other words, that's been under the Gentile rule of the house of Israel, still under the Gentile rule of the nations, especially here in the United States, and her fall. So for the 11th chapter of Isaiah, brings the setting up of the kingdom of the Yahweh here on this earth by His Son, Yahshua. The 12th chapter expresses the praise of those in the Mount Zion at the 12th hour, and the kingdom of the David that is set up here by Yahshua when He came back, and He is conjointly sitting upon the throne of David with the antithetical David, because the prophecy there in Revelation, it says in Revelation 3, the last few verses, He that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and am set down my Father in His throne. Okay. Recently, you recall, we studied the 10th chapter of the Isaiah and found that this chapter brings us to the time when the period of the antitypical Assyria is to come unto its end. We might naturally expect Babylon to follow next, because that period comes after the fall of the Assyria, but that is not correct. For the Yahshua's kingdom must also come in its proper time. So the Yahshua's kingdom is the everlasting kingdom of heaven, Daniel 2:44-45, that is prophesied there by the Daniel's prophecy. That is the child, his people, when they have become mature, born again, a Christian, the burden of the Babylon, therefore, is not mentioned until the 13th chapter of the Isaiah. Now we may ask ourselves, why the symbolization of the government of the Yahweh's kingdom, as given in Isaiah 11, is in the form of the rod and the branch and the root. Other figures might have been used that would be just as fitting, but Yahweh chose these. Why? It must be noticed that the 11th chapter starts with the word and, showing, and you know, and the word and is a conjunction word, meaning for the connection and the continuing on with the thought before it, showing that it is a continuation of the 10th chapter. Now let us read Isaiah 10:33-34. Behold, the Yahshua of the host, that's the Son of Yahweh, shall top the bow with the terror, and the high ones of the statue shall be hewn down, and the haughty shall be humble, and he shall cut down the thickets of the forest with iron, and Lebanon shall fall by a mighty one. Isaiah 11:1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. This brings the end of our second study this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call. And that's number 11. Click on the audio archive. We're going to close now with a song.